Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
The Obamacare repeal and what actually happened with it, and a few things that could possibly happen once it passes the Senate. The first thing is the Obamacare Act passed the House, and so what's going to happen with this is it abolished the Obamacare individual mandate, which hit 8 million Americans every year. Pretty significant issue. This is the big thing that I've talked about so many times with the tax, the unconstitutional tax that we had from Congress that they allowed IRS to levy on us, costing roughly around $700 to $800 million a year right out of the economy, taxing people for just not having health insurance. So this was a big thing that I was really, really happy about to see that it went through. Again, we're going to see if this actually completely passes. The Obamacare employee mandate tax as well, which that together with the individual mandate tax is going to cut about $270 billion in taxes, which is pretty exciting to me. Also, to the medicine cabinet tax, which hit about 20 million Americans with a health savings account and 30 million Americans with flexible spending account. That's a $6 billion tax as well right there. The Obamacare 10% excise tax on small businesses for indoor tanning services, that was another big one. That was one of Obama's favorite, where essentially anybody that had an indoor tanning shop got hit with a 10% tax just for having a tanning salon, even if it was a gym or anything else. If they had a tanning salon in there, they got hit with that. That was completely out of line, in my opinion, as well. So this is something that was pretty exciting to see pass. It's kind of sad that we're actually excited to see an unconstitutional tax get pulled off of us, because quite frankly, there was no reason that should have even gone through in the first place. Did you guys know? The whole thing was a scam. A lot of it, in my opinion, is obfuscation to keep us focused on other stuff. Another article, though, that I wanted to bring up today that's pretty exciting. This has been going on for a while. The research has been going on for, 40, 50, 60 years on turmeric. And more and more research comes out. It's like almost every couple months, more research comes out. The turmeric compound curcumin, which you guys know is the main active ingredient in turmeric, has been found to inhibit a number of significant blocking of viruses and actually killing viruses. And we get a lot of questions in the office for people that are having issues, with Zika, hepatitis, herpes, influenza, HPV, all this stuff. And turmeric, they're starting to find, has an incredibly positive effect at knocking this stuff out. Most recently, the most recent one that happened was research that confirmed that the central medicine compound in turmeric, curcumin, blocks the growth of the Zika virus, hepatitis, and herpes. One of the problems with these viruses is due to the viral cell being enveloped. They have a glycoshell protein that makes them more durable and difficult to break down by the body's immune system. Turmeric does a great job at basically completely stopping this from going any further. Researchers found also that turmeric central extract compound curcumin blocks the growth of Zika. Researchers from France at prestigious Pasteur Institute, they found it has the ability to inhibit this virus. Not only does it go through it as a dose-dependent manner, means that the larger the dose, the more it has effect on it. The researchers found that the curcumin interfered with the virus's ability to bind to cells. A virus must bind to a cell in order to infect it. These bindings also help the virus transmit itself to other parts of the body. The virus will often utilize the cell organs to even DNA to help it spread. This is how it works with hepatitis. This is how it works with HIV, HPV, so forth, all across the board. So it's a really wild product if you need something for this. Most people that we've worked with stack the turmeric at a very high dosage with the viral graphis that we have, along with the Excellent C and the D3. Those four right there are an incredibly good antiviral compound that work very, very effectively at stopping viruses from spread. And in some cases, they can actually block the virus from going any further and actually get rid of the virus in some rare cases, which is pretty exciting as far as in that aspect. So, I mean, the good thing about it is the tumor that we carry, there's 400 milligrams. You guys can see it. There's one capsule that we carry. It's basically a gel capsule. It's got 400 milligrams of turmeric in it. And most dosages start off at 4 capsules a day. We've had people go all the way up to 16 to 20 capsules a day. Of course, that's your choice on what you want to do with it. But it's really, really effective in that aspect at being able to block the virus and work with the other compounds, such as the virographis, the D3, the X, and the C, at killing off viruses.
Awesome. I'm with you.
Oh, you're with us now, bud?
Yeah, I tell you what, this is going to have to be a really good show tonight for all this. Well, we've gone, I mean, I'm all dressed up in a coat and tie, and I mean, I'm all cleaned up, I washed my hair, got it all cleaned back, even shaved today for this show, and now I have no video feed whatsoever, so I'm sitting here laughing, thinking to myself, well, the best laid plans, at least I'm here to do the show with you now, Austin, so I'm glad you're not having to do a 3-hour Hagman show on your own, buddy.
Oh, you know I'd handle it if I had to. I figured I was already dressed up for the both of us, so I just take it from here.
Well, guys, I want to thank you so much for listening to us tonight. I want to thank my listeners for tuning in. I'm glad I'm with you guys. I want to thank Austin for the great introduction that he did as far as, you know, bringing the show online for the first 7-8 minutes. And so we are here. So we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff tonight. We've got two really good guests tonight. I've got a pastor coming on, John Terrell. He'll be coming on at 8 o'clock for the first half an hour. And at the bottom of that hour, Sheila Zielinski is going to be coming on discussing a whole bunch of relevant news topics along with a few of the things that John Terrell has also talked about. But what I want to do is I want us to keep our eye on the ball from a political standpoint on the show tonight, because we need to realize that there are a lot of things going on very, very quickly right now in the United States, all over the world right now, with the coming of this new world order they're trying to orchestrate. And we all need to be wide awake as to what's going on. Now, Austin, you cover about Trump's passage of the health care bill or the Obama 2 bill and the things that were taken out of it already?
I talked about it briefly, yes. I was hoping to discuss it with you on there. But again, you know, until this actually passes the Senate, we're not really sure exactly what is, if it's actually going to stick. But the fact that the individual mandate and the employer mandate tax was both in this repeal is a really, really positive sign for the American public, because again, as I said before, that was probably one of the biggest aspects of it, was the individual tax and the employer tax that hit the economy so hard for essentially fining people for not having health care. And really what that turned into was fining people that are healthy and don't really want to waste money on health insurance because they don't need it.
That's exactly right. That would be me. I canceled my health insurance many years ago when Obama started this mess, because I saw where it was going and I knew my premiums had already been jacked up to almost $2,000 a month for me and my wife and my children. I thought, well, I've already got workman comp at the office. I've already got health insurance on the automobiles in case I'm in an accident. If something happens to me, I'm not going to allow them to put me on chemotherapy or radiation. If that's about the worst thing that would happen. Anything else would be accident related. So I thought, I'm not going to do all this. This is nonsense. I'm just going to not be spending $2,000 a month. And now it's been, 6-7 years ago, and I've been able to keep that money and put it aside in case I did have something happen. But the reality was, I had a $10,000 deductible on my health insurance. The other day I stepped off the edge of a roof and dropped about 2 feet and cracked my fifth metatarsal. I told you guys that last couple weeks ago when I was on with Doug. And it was kind of interesting because I went to the emergency room, not the emergency room, but the walk-in clinic, and the total bill, including the doctor's visit, getting in a splint, getting the x-rays, everything was $175. And I laughed, and they told me, they said, if I had not paid cash, that I would have had to pay like 3 times that if I had run it through my insurance for my deductible. And I thought, and I would have still had to pay the entire $600 out of pocket because it wouldn't have met my $10,000 deductible. So guys, you got to walk through this stuff yourself. I'm not telling you not to carry insurance. I wouldn't do that, but you got to make a choice for you and your family and realize, guys, a lot of times it's just better to eat well, be healthy, and basically take good care of yourself with preventive health care, like Austin was talking about, with different types of things you can do for viruses. But Austin, I want to talk about something. This is an interesting article. It was talking about what the global cartel, the international banking community, I call them Sabbatean Cabalists, and John Terrell is going to go into detail with that at the top of the hour, what they're doing and what type of covert activities they're doing and how they've used the money of creating money out of nothing to develop all of these crazy things to control us and how to subjugate the entire planet. And there's several different things that they've done that are interlocked cartels that they've established, and I want to go through a few of them. The money cartel, also known as the Federal Reserve System, basically is a fraudulent, illegal, unconstitutional system. There's no point in even discussing this with the Hagman Group. They already know exactly what that means, and our listeners are listening. The energy cartel, including the petrodollar, again, that's all tied directly to the Sabbatean and Kabbalists and what they've done to basically cause the world to use the petrodollar to buy oil from the Middle Eastern countries. The next is the knowledge cartel from the U.S. educational system. This includes the public schools, the private and public universities. These are the ones that have controlled and brainwashed our children, giving us a bunch of snowflakes that have to have their safe spaces. When something goes wrong, like Donald Trump wins the election for these guys, they've got to sit around and play with Play-Doh and get a puppy. I mean, this is crazy stuff that university kids are actually doing this. What are they going to do when they get in the real world? Then we got the military and the intel cartel, which we know already is controlled by the CIA, which has already been controlled through Luciferianism and all the satanic worship they do. I've talked about that many times. Then we have the judiciary, the corrections, and the police cartel, which this is kind of interesting because of the Federalist Society, a lot of the judiciary now has been stacked, and we've seen it already with Trump twice trying to put executive orders through. Then we've got the big medicine cartel that has gone in and has done everything they possibly can to try to drug us into a stupor with their drugs, including statin drugs, including the big pharma cartel. The agricultural cartel, this is Monsanto poisoning us with GMO seeds, the major mass media cartel, which is owned pretty much by the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the ones that are working out of Hollywood, the Luciferians, who control the media and everything they allow us to see. These people in Hollywood, these top leaders, have a deep, deep-seated hatred for Jesus Christ and everything Yeshua and Yahweh stand for. They're trying to do everything they can to turn the entire planet upside down. Then we have the entertainment cartel. This is the sophisticated and mind control served up by the Hollywood and television networks and movie theaters. It controls the culture, the values, and the mores of the American group mind and keeps the masses sedated and sated. Now, this is like the stuff that you have with the major media, with all of the sports channels they have now, which includes the bread and circus cartel, which is the big sports trying to keep everybody tied down to their TV sets and don't think about anything. And you know what? You and I were talking about this earlier in the office, Austin. If they can keep us mad about everything they're doing in Washington, nobody stops to take a look at what they're really doing behind the scenes. It's like the Wizard of Oz when you watch that movie and you've got all of this crazy stuff happening in the Emerald City and all of a sudden flames and heads and all these things are popping up and you got flying monkeys and all the other crazy things you see in that old movie. And all of a sudden you go behind the curtain and here's this guy pulling a bunch of levers who's controlling everything. That's who these guys are. They're the guys behind the curtain who are doing all of these other things to try to not make us pay attention to what they're doing. Then you've got the religious cartel, and this is tying in with the Vatican, with the Bank of the Vatican, the Vatican Bank. This is also tying in with a whole bunch of other churches that have given themselves over to that feel-good, name-it, claim-it, blab-it, grab-it doctrine. And guys, I believe that God wants us to be blessed. I believe that with all of my heart. But God also has an if-then relationship with us. If you accept Yeshua, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you shall be saved. God's very clear, Austin, in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, there are certain things He expected from the Jews in the Old Testament and certain things He expects from us in the New Testament, in which He specifically lists those things. And He says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, and He goes on to list these acts. He says these people shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what we have to realize is this. Our entire brain has been reprogrammed because of the Sabbatean Kabbalists, because of Edward Bernays. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. And who in the world controls us through advertising and marketing and through subliminal inputs. Then we have the secret society cartel. Now, those are the guys like the Skull and Bones and into different types of people that are involved in, you know, in working with these people behind the scenes. And then the government and political cartel, which is completely controlled by these guys through basically because they've been bribed or they've been blackmailed. And then we have the arms cartel and the narcotics cartel, which is bringing all of these different types of drugs out of Afghanistan on an ongoing basis. And all of these guys are tied together through one thing, through this money mafia. This money mafia, the Sabbatean Kabbalists, and what they're doing is they're controlling all of this through money. Because remember, money makes the world go round. It makes everything work. And without the use of this Federal Reserve currency they use or these other central banks they control in all of these other countries, they simply can't get the job done without us noticing that there's somebody behind the curtain. We need to realize that that's why we're trying to overthrow all of these countries around the world that are still independent and have a non-Federal Reserve, non-Rothschild central bank. It's so important that we understand who is doing this to us. We're going to talk about that in detail at the top of the next hour. But I kind of want to give you guys an introduction with that to start with, to let you guys know that, yes, this is going to be that show, and we're going to go into detail in a lot of this stuff tonight. So what's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's back to what you were saying. I just want to touch base on that. This is what I keep telling people is, you know, the mainstream media is what funnels us the news that they want us to believe, that they want us to hear. And when you constantly keep hearing about North Korea is this, North Korea is that, we have to bomb them, we have to do this. And like I said so many times, I don't support North Korea or a lot of their ideology or their human rights that they exhibit. But you see North Korea, that's bad, bad, bad. You see Syria, bad, bad, bad. You see Iran, bad, bad, bad. What are all these things have in common? These countries do not have a Federal Reserve central bank in them. I keep reiterating that over and over with, but most people do not get it through their head. They still think, oh, we have to invade this country. Oh, we have to invade this country. Oh, we have to go start another war. I'm not saying if they truly do have a nuclear weapon that they're trying to launch towards us, that we're not going to defend ourselves. But again, we haven't seen anything actually happen, just like with Assad and the gas attack that supposedly happened directly from Assad, yet there was zero evidence, yet we sent 59 Tomahawk cruise missiles over there just because they said that somebody released sarin nerve gas on the civilian population when Assad had absolutely zero reason to do that whatsoever. It's like I got this article earlier here today, and you start really seeing what's going on here. I mean, this is becoming mainstream media now. It says the major central banks have stocked up on trillions of dollars of government bonds and other assets, meaning other stock market assets, other companies, since the financial crisis to support lending and growth, pushing their balance sheets into unprecedented level. A big question hanging over financial markets, what will central banks do with their massive security portfolios? The Federal Reserve balance sheet has roughly quintupled to over $4.5 trillion now, which is around a quarter of the U.S. GDP. The Bank of England's balance sheet has undergone a similar expansion, and the value assets held by the European Central Bank have more than doubled to around 36% of their GDP. These guys are buying up everything. They're buying up the blue chip stocks, as Deb talks about. They're buying all the corporations. They're owning all the banks. They're getting completely consolidated to where they have everything in their pocket and they own every aspect of it. This was the goal since 1913 when they got the Federal Reserve Bank in. This was the overall goal of the Federal Reserve and the Rothschilds, and it seems now that they're actually finally reaching the point of success that they wanted, and it's not good for us, but I'm bringing this to light because this is exactly what is happening, and this is exactly what their goal was, Dad, to the point now they almost have $5 trillion on the balance sheets as an independent Federal Reserve Bank that has zero connection with the federal government, I might add. And they have full autonomy to do whatever they want to do. I talked about on the show yesterday, we can't even audit them. There's a reason why we can't audit them. Because the federal government, the President of the United States, the executive orders, whatever it may be, has zero power over the Federal Reserve Bank. And now we see they have almost $5 trillion on the balance sheets. Now we know exactly what the goal has been from the beginning with these guys, Deb.
Well, it goes more than that, too, Austin. Remember when Ron Paul tried to audit the Fed a few years ago and they had $16 trillion in off-book balance sheets, which they actually printed this currency or established this currency in U.S. dollars, and they had not told anybody where the money had gone. Finally, when they asked, they said, well, it went to other banks, you know, over in Europe and around the world, and we don't really know where it went. And they refused to answer, and they never answered. And what these banks have done now, and their balance sheets have been engorged with all of this money, they've bought up, as you mentioned, Austin, the blue chip stocks. They're controlling almost every major corporation in the United States now, which is what they wanted to do. This is exactly what these same guys have done, these seven-day Kabbalists. This is exactly what they did in 1920, 21, 22, 23 in Germany. This is what happened. This is how they hyperinflated the currency, took over the stock market in Germany, took over the country, took over the factories, owned everything, stayed in front of the inflation curve, put their money into metals and into the blue chips, and at the other end of the hyperinflation with the Weimar Republic, they were able to come back and own all of Germany. This is exactly what my mom told me happened. She was there. She was born in 1916. My father was born in 1901. He was fully aware of what was going on in Germany, too, because all of his relatives were there, and he was born in this country. And what was interesting is, at the end of the cycle of inflation, she told me they were spending 40 billion marks for one loaf of bread. They were having to bring wheelbarrow loads of money. Now, this is Germany. This is industrious, prosperous Germany, and it was destroyed through hyperinflation, and all of these assets were seized by this corrupt Federal Reserve Bank, which, by the way, was also the ones who were involved with the Treaty of Versailles. These are the guys who pushed the Treaty of Versailles against Germany, making it literally impossible to pay back the war reparations that were being charged to Germany. And they were the ones that were there forcing Wilson to do what he did with the Treaty of Versailles, which was never ratified by our Congress because they said it was too unfair. These are the same guys. We're going to talk about who they are, what kind of Satanism they practice, where they came from. It all started with a guy by the name of Sabbatane Zevi back in the 1600s. We're going to break this down in detail in the next hour so you guys can understand who the enemy is and why they do this and what the obfuscation is all about and why they constantly do this to everybody on the planet to the best of their ability because they're trying to resurrect their serpent god, so to speak, and that's really what they believe. So we're going to do that. Now, there's another interesting article, and I read part of this the other day on our show. I'm going to read it again for the Hagman audience. And I so wish I could be on video right now with you guys. I'd show you these articles. It's The Last American Vagabond. I'm not familiar with this website. I'm not even sure if it's a good website. He wrote a really good article on this. He goes, "I'm constantly amazed by the ability of those in power to create a narrative trusted by gullible, non-critical thinking populace appealing to emotions. When you have millions of functionally illiterate, normalcy biased, ensnared, eye-gadget distracted disciples of the status quo has become the game plan of the deep state for the last century. Americans don't want to think because thinking is hard. They would rather feel. For decades, the American government has controlled the public education system, has performed a mass lobotomy on their hapless matriculates, removing their ability to think, replacing it with feelings, fabricated dogma, and social indoctrination. Their minds of mush have been molded to acquiesce to the narrative propagandized by their government keepers. The problem isn't, this is an article, this is a quote by Thomas Sowell, the problem isn't that Johnny can't read, the problem is that Johnny can't even think. The problem is that Johnny doesn't know what thinking is, and he confuses it with feeling. With a majority confused, distracted, malleable, willfully ignorant, and easily manipulated by false narratives, heart-wrenching images, and fake news, the deep state henchmen have been able to control the masses with relative ease." Now, this man goes back in here to quote a statement by Bernays, who was, by the way, he was a Sabbatane Kabbalist, he was a Luciferian, he was a Satanist, he was a cousin of Sigmund Freud, and here's a direct quote by Edward Bernays. "The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in a democratic society." Says who? Him? "Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes are formed, and our ideas are suggested largely by men we have never heard of. This is a logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized. Vast numbers of human beings must cooperate in this manner if they are to live together and as a smoothly functioning society. In almost every act of our daily lives, whether in the sphere of politics or business, in our social context, or in our ethical thinking, we are dominated by the relatively small number of persons who understand the mental process and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wires which control the public mind." Then the article goes on to say, "How did the American people ever reach this point where they believe that U.S. aggression in the Middle East will make us safe when it does the exact opposite? How did the American people ever reach the point where they believe that fighting unconstitutional wars is required to protect our freedoms and our Constitution? Why do we allow the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, the TSA, etc., to destroy our liberty at home as part of the global war on terror with a pretext that they are preserving our liberty? Why are the lying politicians reelected and allowed to bankrupt our country, destroy our money, and enter wars without proper consent? Why do the American people suffer in silence and not scream enough? Enough is enough." In German, you say, "Genug ist genug." "We've had enough of the humanitarian do-gooders and the proponents of American exceptionalism who give us nothing but war, economic suffering, and less freedom. This can and must be stopped." Ron Paul, Swords into Plowshares, A Life of Wartime. Now, guys, listen to me on this. We have to understand something here. One of the reasons they've done this to us is because of statin drugs. Just this week, I had a dear friend of mine who wanted the doctor wanted to put him on statin drugs, and his cholesterol was like 200, and they wanted to lower it even lower. And what was crazy about this, he went to a top specialist, and they checked his blood chemistry, and he had phenylalanine poisoning. Now, phenylalanine is a component of aspartame or NutraSweet, and he ended up recording this conversation with this top physician in the St. Louis area and basically let me listen to the recorded announcement. He told the guy he was going to record it, obviously. And the guy mentioned his phenylalanine was high, and he goes, "Hey guys, you know, your phenylalanine is real high. If this gets high enough, you'll have permanent nerve and brain damage. You'll basically be senile and not be able to do anything." But he didn't even ask the man who had this high phenylalanine what happened and why his phenylalanine was so high. So the first thing I asked my buddies when he sent me the lab test, I said, "Look, what are you doing? Why is your phenylalanine high? Are you drinking aspartame or diet sodas?" And he goes, "Well, yeah, I'm drinking them like with diet Red Bull and et cetera, because before I do a sermon, I jump up and, you know, get all geeked up on this stuff, and it makes me feel better when I speak." And I said, "No, wait a minute." I said, What you're doing is you're causing yourself to be poisoned by the phenylalanine, which is about 40% of the aspartame. And so here's what they're doing, guys. These are brain entrainment.
Can we stop you right there?
Yeah, buddy, go ahead.
We're going to break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Ted and Austin Brower. Filling in for Doug and Joe on the Hagman Report. We'll be right back.
St. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, "Readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced." Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, "Fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting." Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters, MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I want to thank Dr. Ted Brower for standing in for us right now. Dr. Ted, thank you so very much. A better guest host we could not ask for. You're doing a great job, and I just want to thank you and your son, Austin. By the way, before we get back to Dr. Ted Brower, guys, Mother's Day. Mother's Day is less than 10 days away. And you know, if you've got a mom or maybe a wife, My wife loves to get flowers for Mother's Day or any occasion. And I know a lot of women out there just love the gift of flowers. You know, being a mom, it's often a thankless job. And Mother's Day is a chance to show your appreciation for that special person in your life, whether it's the mother of your children, your mother. Hey, it could be a sister, a daughter, whoever. Put a smile on their face. Use Pro Flowers. You know, when you send the 100 blooms for mom bouquet from Pro Flowers this Mother's Day, you will make a fantastic impression. This package, 100 blooms, it comes with a free glass vase for just $19.99 plus shipping and handling. And if you really want to make a statement, you can upgrade to a premium vase, and it's gorgeous. That includes gourmet chocolates for just $10 more. Think about that. What a deal that is. You can choose a delivery date. Perhaps you want to deliver it earlier or a special date other than Mother's Day. And folks, Pro Flowers, they're guaranteed to arrive fresh and beautiful and stay that way for at least 7 days or your money back. And we've had our flowers, for longer than 2 weeks, and you can still smell the blossoms. This 100 blooms is just a fantastic deal. My wife loves this. This is her favorite bouquet of flowers. Moms do love fresh flowers, and Pro Flowers makes it easy to send the perfect Mother's Day gift with this huge bouquet. The only way to get the 100 blooms for mom with a free glass vase starting at $19.99 is to visit proflowers.com. You have to click on the microphone in the top right-hand corner and use my code word Hagman. So here's the deal. Go to proflowers.com and enter the code Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N, when you click on the mic. It's that simple. This stunning bouquet sells out fast. Folks, you've got to act fast. Do it today. Again, proflowers.com. Click on the microphone box. Enter our code Hagman for this fantastic deal. 100 blooms. Can you imagine? Oh, it's going to look great on your dining room table, and the recipient, whether it be your mom, your wife, she's going to love you. And the smile, oh, it's worth 100 blooms indeed. And again, now we're going to go back to Ted Brower. I want to thank Dr. Brower. Thank you so much, Ted, for filling in and for handling our show tonight. Really appreciate it. And folks, we'll see you back here on Monday.
Thanks so much, Doug. It's great to be with you guys tonight. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to host the show along with Austin. We're having a great time. And as always, Doug, I'm doing the best I can trying to explain to people the medical end of what's going on and how these guys are controlling us. And I was just in the middle of that before we went to break. So, guys, I want you to know something. The mainstream medicine that's putting you on all of these different types of drugs, they're not doing you a favor, because these drugs are part of that pharmakia in many cases that the New Testament talks about in the book of Revelation, which is being used by these wizards and warlocks and witches or whatever you want to call them to control you and to get your mind into an altered state. Remember, the use of fluoride was first done in the Nazi concentration camps because they wanted to make the inmates servile and infertile. And as soon as we started reading all the information of what happened in the Nazi concentration camps with the general public, we ended up putting fluoride in our water in the United States in 1947, which is kind of crazy, but that's when it all started. And remember, Hitler realized that if he went into a municipality and he wanted to control the population, he needed to do mass medication of the water that they were drinking that they could not filter out. In other words, they learned in the concentration camps that if they went into an area and they tried to basically give them pills to take, they wouldn't do it. They'd spit them out. But when you medicate the water with fluoride or other chemicals, there's nothing that people can do. They have to ingest the water. That's why it's so important to drink reverse osmosis or distilled water, Austin. What do you think about this, son?
Well, the thing that we're seeing now, and you're absolutely right about all that, is the globalist, I think, anticipated that the human being was going to be much weaker. And the pharmaceuticals, everything that they're doing has been effective to an extent, but they have to keep pushing it further because the pharmaceuticals still aren't even doing enough yet. You know, vaccines in general have traditionally been used to prevent viral or bacteria infections that are highly contagious or have a high risk of serious complications. Keywords there, infectious and prevent. Well, last year, the articles called The Vaccine Reaction, aimed at highlighting the strangest vaccines in the pipeline. And there's a new trend now pushing even harder from the vaccine and drug companies that's labeled therapeutic vaccines now. And this is just, it's getting so out of control with the pharmaceuticals, with big vaccine, big pharma, that these guys are going to stop at nothing until we finally wake up and take a stand. These were first approved by the FDA back in 2010. Current therapeutic vaccines were originally designed primarily to treat people that were suffering with like brain or skin cancer, prostate cancer, rather than actually prevent infections like a traditional vaccine. Suddenly the applications for these vaccines has become unlimited. What this means is that the pharmaceutical industry is free now to create vaccines for any poor health condition that ails the human race. But see, the difference is the pharmaceuticals that actually manufacture the pharmaceuticals still have that lift on top of them, that umbrella over them, that they have to try to mandate and keep the pharmaceuticals to a reasonable amount of danger. The vaccine companies do not have this. Did you guys remember in 1986, the Vaccine Act that Reagan signed allowed the vaccines manufacturers to have complete protection from the federal government? I mean, total autonomy, no consequences to anything. So what we have now is we have the pharmaceuticals that are producing medications to dumb us down. Now we're having vaccines that are built to dumb us down even further under the guise of therapeutic dosages. What they've just come out with now, they haven't released it, actually been for approval yet, but it's actually a vaccine to prevent childhood obesity. Yes, you heard that right. Instead of going outside, exercising, eating clean, not eating pizza and ding-dongs and cupcakes and soda every day, they're trying to make a vaccine to actually prevent childhood obesity. They said it injects a modified form of a peptide protein molecule that suppresses growth hormones that boost metabolism and cause weight loss. Now, I don't know how many ways you can think that's going to turn into a bad idea when you start testing this on children. They said the vaccination with modified somatostatin causes the body to generate antibodies, effectively removing the inhibition without directly interfering with the growth hormones and subsequently increasing energy expenditure and weight loss. Now, I don't know who the poor test subjects are going to be to start this on, but this sounds like an absolute horrible idea to begin with, but this is where it's going, Dad. If they can try now to come up with every pharmaceutical drug they can, which they pretty much have, I mean, even restless leg syndrome now, they have a drug for, now they're going to start coming up with vaccines for issues like obesity so they can give us another excuse, another reason to jab us with these unbelievably toxic vaccines. But the thing is, the vaccine companies do not have any type of mandates or control over them to provide a true, safe vaccine that doesn't have a laundry list of side effects because of the 1986 Act. So this is the next step that the globalists are pushing on us. That's why I have been so adamant over the years at researching this stuff and trying to wake up the American population to vaccines and the dangers behind a lot of them, because there's some serious side effects that are coming along with these vaccines, as we've talked about on our show, on the Ted and Austin Brower show. This is something that's getting even worse, and people have to start waking up to it, Dad.
You're absolutely right. In fact, the study now has shown that infants with a DTP shot has basically 5 to 10 times more susceptible dying. They have a much higher infant crib death rate. This is from the Scandinavian scientists who conducted a study, and the results are alarming. The study, funded in part by the Danish government, led by Dr. Soren Morgensen, was published in January in eBioMedicine. Morgensen and his team scientists found that African children inoculated with the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccine early in the 80s had a 5 times greater mortality than their unvaccinated peers. In other words, we know this is being used for population control. We know that's one of the big goals, is they're trying to reduce the population of the planet. Bill Gates even said in one of his TED lectures that they're going to use vaccines, Austin, to help reduce the population of the planet. And this is what they're trying to do, because all of these vaccines, look at the Gardasil. The Gardasil vaccine is one of the absolute worst vaccines you could ever give your daughter or your granddaughter. You need to be aware of that. It causes, in many cases, what's called premature ovarian failure, which means you go into menopause at 15, 16, 17, 18 years of age. You stop ovulating. Your ovaries
dry up and you no longer can ever have children. That's one of the most horrible side effects of it, but there's also side effects including paralysis. And it goes on and on and on. Just, you know, go to Google and type in Gardasil nightmare stories or toxicity of Gardasil vaccine, and you're going to get literally hundreds, if not thousands, of articles that are going to go into detail from these parents and these mothers and these children that have ruined their lives because of this particular compound. So we need to understand, again, everything is about human fertility and the human immune system. Remember, their whole goal is transhumanism. They want to meld us with machines, and they're also trying to get us into a slave race state. Always remember, these Sabbateans are the ones that had led up a lot of the slavery and the importation of slaves into the United States during the 1700s, and we need to all in the 1600s. We need to also realize, guys, that they liked having slaves. They liked doing that. The problem with slaves is they couldn't track them back, you know, 300 or 400 years ago, but now they can track you with nanotags. They can track for you because they can have your DNA sending out a signal because of the Morgellons antennas they're putting into all of us who breathe the air from the outside. I mean, I've done entire shows on this, Austin, on Hagman, and this is what they want to do. They want to turn us into a slave race. One of the things with the college loans is that they're turning the kids into what's called indentured servants. You know, back in the 1600s and 1700s, there's two really good movies, if you want to learn a little bit about this, from Hollywood, actually told the truth in a few movies. The one of them is The Patriot with Mel Gibson, and the other one is the Last of the Mohicans. If you watch those two movies to understand about the French and Indian War, and in The Last of the Mohicans, they talk about how people were sold into as indentured servants, had to spend 7 years in servitude in the United States, and they were set free to pay for their passage to the United States to get into the New World. This is what they want. They want these college children to be indentured servants. That's why they have not allowed the kids in college who have student loans to be able to file bankruptcy to get rid and discharge these loans. So what these kids do, they spend their entire lives paying these notes, can't get them paid off, and in the event they get a judgment on these children, then if they have anything left in their estate when they die, this is going to be a judgment on their estate, and they're going to have to pay it off out of their estate from their heirs. I mean, this is a major mess, and the problem is we need to get rid of the restrictions on student loans for bankruptcy and stop protecting these banks that make these loans to these children, many times of which their parents also co-sign these loans. So it's crazy stuff what's going on, Austin. What's your next story?
Well, and add a little bit more to that as well, because this is a very hot topic for me because I'm 28. So I have a lot of friends that are in college, been in college, graduated from college, graduated with me, have younger siblings that are going to college. And this college student loan bubble is a nightmare. I mean, it's $1.3 trillion now, guys. $1.3 trillion. It's right up there with mortgages as far as the United States in debt, and you can't bankrupt it. This whole thing was a giant scam from the beginning when they allowed it so you couldn't bankrupt student loans. I'm not saying you need to go run up a $200,000 or $300,000 bill at Harvard and turn around and bankrupt it. I don't think that's very ethical at all. But what I'm saying is you have a lot of these kids who went to these private schools that have $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 plus in student loans. They get out with a bachelor's degree in philosophy. They find out the only job they can get is a teacher making $35,000 a year, which there's nothing wrong with that. I have a lot of friends that are teachers. But how do you pay off a $100,000 student loan at 14.9% interest, making $35,000 a year gross, and have a family, have a car, have insurance, be forced to buy health insurance, have a mortgage? How do you do all that? It's not physically possible. As Dad just said, it was all driven from the beginning when they made it so you couldn't bankrupt these. They want to get everybody into the system as an indentured servitude. When you're a servant, you don't fight your master in majority of the cases because you don't have the money to do so. That was the entire point of doing this now. And we see an entire generation, my generation, they literally doesn't, they don't pay their student loans. They either default on them or they make minimum payments for the next 30, 40 years of their life. It's ludicrous. So if you have family, if you have kids, if you have brothers and sisters, if you have somebody that's going into college, encourage them to do the best they can to file for different scholarships, different grants, There's all types of stuff on the market that you can go and apply for. And if you don't get all of them, that's fine. But in most cases, most of the kids that I've known that I've helped them with, they get at least one or two of these scholarships or grants. It pays for a decent portion of their school every semester, and they don't have to get massive amounts of student loans, if any. If you do have to take out a small student loan for something, make sure it's the absolute bare minimum. I had a girl in here that worked in the office a while back that graduated from Southeastern actually a week ago. And she got multiple scholarships, multiple grants. She worked here part-time while she was in school. She had to take out two different student loans that ended up totaling at like $9,000 total. That was it. It's all she came out of school was $9,000. And what she did was she'd go in there, find out what the bare minimum she had to get a hold of, work the rest of it, get enough cash to pay for it through the semester, and then have like a $2,000 or $3,000 student loan. But what she told me is when they go into the registrar, they come in and say, oh, well, you applied for a $4,000 student loan for this class, this class, and this class. We turned in your paperwork, and they approved you for a $15,000 loan, so that's what we're going to give you. And she said, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want a $15,000 loan. I asked for $3,000 or $4,000. That's all I want. That's all I'm taking out. They actually fought her on that and tried to make her take out the full amount on purpose. Why? Because they wanted to make sure she got the money, she spent the money, and she was in debt for the money the rest of her life. Most of these kids that I know don't need the amount they get in student loans. They end up spending it on parties, cars, dorms, food, all types of incidentals that they could probably have paid with cash, working for the summer, instead of taking out a student loan. So encourage friends, encourage family. If they're going to college, which is not a bad thing, I'm a big advocate of college, but don't be going into massive student debt. If you have to take some out, make sure it's a bare minimum that you know you can pay off within a year or two of graduating with a minimum paying job instead of these astronomical student debts that some of these kids have, Dad.
Well, that was very well said, Austin, and I could tell you were speaking from your heart because you have so many friends who that's happened to. Yeah. What we need to realize is this. If you're going to college and you're going to college because your parents want you to go and all you want to do is go to college and party and get drunk and do weird things, okay, if you want to do all of that, and you're making horrible grades, you don't belong in college, especially if you're having to take out student loans and your parents are taking out student loans. If you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or a school teacher or any profession that you have to have a college degree to get licensed through, you can go to college. But if you're just doing it because you want to have fun or party for 3 or 4 more years, guys, save your parents the grief and save yourself the grief and go get yourself a real job or get yourself a trade job. Learn electrical repair. Learn how to repair air conditioners or refrigerators. There's all kinds of ways you can have a really good business and earn a really good income without having to go into debt. Because what is it? 85% of the people, Austin, who get their college degrees don't even use their college degrees after they graduate. They can't find a job with them, so they end up having this huge bill with absolutely no way to pay it off. I remember years ago I had a friend who had a kid who's had a motorcycle stolen and didn't have any insurance on it, and the kid basically decided he wasn't going to pay the insurance, he wasn't going to pay for the loan for the motorcycle, which was the wrong thing to do, but they basically started calling him up, the creditors did, and they told him, they said, if you don't pay this motorcycle off or pay us the amount of money we want, the bill was like $10,000, it had already gone up to $18,000 like within 2 years, we're going to go ahead and we're going to wait until you graduate, your kid graduates from college, and after 7 years, which is our statute of limitation, we're going to go ahead and file a lawsuit, and we're going to garnish this child's wages for the rest of their life. This is that same mentality. This is the same thing these guys do. They want to go in and be able to garnish the wages of these guys who have these student loans. I mean, we've actually had U.S. Marshals go in and arrest people who didn't show up in court because of student loan debt. So, guys, listen to me for a second. This is not something you want to do if you're a kid. Now, I've got Pastor John Terrell coming on in about 6-7 minutes, but I want to give him kind of an introduction here. He's one of the top researchers in the world on what Sabbatean Kabbalah is. And I'm going to read you a little bit about what this is before he comes on, because I don't want to take any of his time because he only has half an hour. But there's a brilliant YouTube you can watch, and it's by Dr. Rabbi Marvin Antleman, A-N-T-E-L-M-A-N, Jewish scholar. And he was actually being interviewed on a show in
Israel by Tamar Johan of Israel National Radio. The show was recorded back in 2006. Now, the opinions on that show are his alone. I don't know enough about this particular topic the way he does to go into detail about this. But what we have is a group of people that have tripped off of Judaism and have made a big mess. And, of course, they're not really been completely excommunicated by the established rabbis for the heretical and frankly satanic practices. But that was back in 1756. These are the same guys through Sabbatane Zevi who came in and said everything has to be turned upside down to make everything as bad as possible. And we'll let Pastor Terrell explain to you why they believe all of that. Now, what was interesting about this is just a few weeks ago, I watched this video that's made the rounds on Alex's show and a lot of other places. And we talked about a central banker who basically came out of who quit because he was basically so caught up in what was happening with these Sabbatean Kabbalists that he was asked to sacrifice some children and he refused to do it. Now, this is Dutch banker Ronald Bernard. You can watch his video and I really believe he was telling us the truth. And he's giving an inside perspective about the handful of Satanists who managed to control much of the world through finance, confirming the speculations of many outside investigators over the years. Now remember, this type of practice was completely and totally excommunicated and by established rabbis back in 1756. So this is a splinter off group, and I really don't like calling them Jewish. I like calling them Satanists because that's what they are. This is basically the synagogue of Satan that Jesus was talking about in the book of Revelation, and also when he called these boys who were trying to have him crucified, basically the children of Lucifer. Now, it was kind of interesting because this is what Alexandra Bruce, she's a born-again Christian, and she has the Forbidden Knowledge website. She wrote this about that particular video with Dr. Rabbi Marvin Antleman. She said, "I never heard the word Sabbatean until last fall when I was editing a foundational booklet, The Right to Issue, about the central banking system written by William Calder. He told me that he had personally met a few of the top members of the committee who control the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, considered to be the central bank of central banks. Calder said that all members at the top of the hierarchical structure of the committee were Sabbateans, all of them, 100%, and that they were very preoccupied with their bloodlines. These individuals were not free to marry without the approval of the entire committee because of their bloodlines. He has told me, this is what Alexander Bruce has said, that Jared Kushner is a direct relation of the top members of the committee who are Sabbateans. Now, we're going to go into detail with this in just a few minutes because our next guest has actually traced this lineage back with Kushner, and he's going to cover some of that on the show in just a few minutes. But I wanted to make it very clear that we're not talking about the bulk of Judaism. The bulk of Judaism has completely and totally disavowed this mess. They want nothing to do with it. We're talking about a splinter group that I don't even consider to be Jewish. I consider to be Luciferians. I know when Tex Mars was being interviewed by me on the Power Hour a few years ago, he was talking about this, and he kept mentioning the Jews. And I said, Tex, you've got to stop this. George Bush is not a Jew. Okay? All of these people that are involved in this stuff are not Jewish, but they're all Luciferians and they've all gone over to the dark side. So we have to understand that we're not talking about the bulk of Judaism who still practice and read from the Torah. Those are the guys who we think are the Old Testament Jews who we believe that was inspired. We know that is the inspired word of the Lord. So guys, it's important that we all understand what we're talking about tonight is this central bank group that has done all of this and has tried their best to subject the entire planet into Satanism and Luciferianism and to debt bondage and to indentured servitude. They're the ones that want to bring this thing back to a feudal system in which these guys are able to go in and control the entire planet through their central banks, through the bark of the beast, by getting rid of these other central banks and allowing us to be in a cashless society. These are the ones that we've got to stand against. This is what I was mentioned earlier in the show. We can't allow ourselves to get caught up in the obfuscation of the media
in the circus that is Washington D.C. right now, and all of the stuff that's going on with Korea and Syria, we've got to keep our eyes on the ball and realize these are the guys that are behind this. These are the guys that are doing all of this, and we have to keep their feet to the fire. And I said this on my show, Austin, and your show, our show, a few months ago before Trump was elected. I said, guys, we'll know who's in control if the chemtrails stop. The chemtrails have not stopped. We'll know who's in control if we have a full-blown audit of the Federal Reserve Bank, and the Federal Reserve Bank is discharged in the United States, and they lose their charter, and we go back to the way it was in 1912. Now, I hope and I pray that Donald Trump gets more acquainted with what's going on in Washington, and he's able to come in and start making more of these changes. It was certainly good that this Obamacare 2 came through that basically eliminated a lot of the things that we didn't like about Obamacare 1, but I personally would rather see Obamacare 1 go completely away. And also, with the repeal of the Johnson Amendment, which never happened yesterday, what he did is he said churches couldn't be discriminated against, but that's already being brought up to court already as we speak, and we'll see if the federal court judge is willing to hear all of that stuff. So the next hour of the show is going to be really thoughtful. It's going to be very, very informative, and I want everybody to realize that we're all in this together, and as Christians, we have a special responsibility, because if we don't do what's right, we're not going to be able to figure out exactly who in the world is doing what they're doing to us. So guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back with Pastor John Terrell.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless and fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.